You're listening to the Lovish Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Sita Hood, vision architect and licensed therapist. Each week, I'm going to help you to develop the belief and strategy necessary to make an immediate impact on the world by deep diving into topics like mental wellness, faith, relationships, and you guessed it, love. I should mention before we hop into the show, this is not a substitute for a relationship with a licensed therapist. You ready? Let's get it. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Lovish Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Sita Hood, vision architect and licensed therapist. What is in your mug? What's in your mug? What's in your mug? I have the golden caramel coffee, of course, a Nespresso drink. Tell me what you are sipping on as we head into this almost school year, this pre-area, the preseason, the pre-game area before school starts. Tell me what you're sipping on. And how are you feeling? Listen, I ain't gonna hold you. I am feeling overwhelmed at this point, okay? I used to work in the school system, so I remember how my summer went. And it was cool or whatever, you know? But now, I know what it's like to be an overwhelmed parent, of course. So while I empathize with school staff who are dreading kids returning to school, if we could just put like the yelling emoji here, we ready. Come and get these kids. Parents are ready. Okay. It's like a joke, but also like not really. Because my kids are here and I know that they're listening to me record right now. And they're going to be like, when I'm done, really, Mom?
Really? Really?
It's time for y'all to go to school. Get on up out of here. Learn something. Jump around. Have some fun, you know, with your peers. I don't know what you're doing, but you got to get up out of here, baby. So that's where I'm at. Mentally. And speaking of being ready, we got to talk about your relationship with your parents. Okay, I know it's a sticky subject. I got you. But it is important for us to discuss because you have got to talk to your parents about the painful experiences that happened in the past. Why? We got to talk about the past because it's stopping you from your future, right? Like, I know that you've had some success. You've made it this far. And by all definitions, if people look at you on the outside, and even if they get to know you, you are, in fact, highly successful. And that's amazing. Love that for you. However, you know that growth that you're trying to get to with your company, you know that position, that promotion that you want, and you're like, what's stopping me? It's not being able to confront your parents for what happened in the past. It also impacts how you read social cues. Okay, let's say that your parents struggled to control their emotions, or even as a kid, you know, you took something that they said wrong, but they never knew that you misunderstood them. They were maybe upset with somebody else, but it felt very much like their anger was directed at you. And whenever they did this, let's say that they had a certain face, or let's say that they maybe got really quiet and did what therapists refer to as stonewalling, which is like emotional shutdown or withdrawal emotionally. So they did that based on something that had absolutely nothing to do with you. And you took that to mean that there was something wrong with you. And so now, as a result of that, in your interactions with introverted people, you always end up having a problem with them because you think that they got a problem with you. You think that they feel a certain way about you. And let's say that one of these introverted people happens to be your boss. And so you're triggered either by her lack of response, and you feel like she thinks that you're highly incompetent when that could be not at all what she's thinking. She could just be a woman of few words. So your perception is a little bit skewed based on how you were raised and what you learned with your parent. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's no area that it doesn't trickle down to. So we have to take the time to confront and discuss with our parents the things that were extremely hurtful to us. And it's important to note, I'm not talking about blaming them for things that they did. I'm not talking about coming at them in a very accusatory way. No, I'm talking about confronting what it is and healing. And a lot of times when we hear the word confrontation, we think, nook, if you buck, why nook, if you buck, why come in a club, shaking my dread, throwing these balls and buzzing these hits. Okay, I'll calm down. We think about confrontation in that way, but it does not have to be that way at all. Confrontation can be peaceful. It doesn't have to contain yelling. It doesn't have to be accusatory or anything like that. Y'all know we like to define words. So while a confrontation can be hostile, it can also just be described as a dispute between two people, a conflict between opposing parties, you know? So it doesn't have to be hostile. That is often what we see and how we view it, but it can be simply a dispute, simply a disagreement. And not talking to your parent about this also impacts your self-confidence. So let's just say that if your parent didn't give you the validation that you needed as a kid, now as an adult, you seek it wherever you go. And maybe it's led to some really crappy relationships with some really painful breakups. Or let's just say that you are this poised powerhouse who gets things done, but you struggle heavy with imposter syndrome. Every time you're in charge of a meeting, you find yourself comparing yourself to that colleague who always knows how to make everybody laugh. And when you try to incorporate some humor in your presentation, well, it's just like some pity laughter. And you know what I'm talking about when we're talking about pity laughter. It's when people are just like, that's crazy. And you always feel the need to add something else on the back end of it because you're not really laughing for real, right? And so because of your imposter syndrome, it has you showing up the opposite as to who you really are. So you are inauthentic due to the imposter syndrome. And the truth of the matter is, if you are really going to make an impact, if you're really going to scale your program, if you're going to finally achieve your dream of living a life where you get to slow down in your business while still maintaining income, you have got to confront the issues at hand. Hey, hey, aren't you tired of running around like a chicken with your head cut off? How many times have you promised to do better with your wellness routines only to let life get on top of you again? I want to invite you to pause and pour by downloading my app, The Lavish Haven, your sanctuary for cultivating daily wellness. It's completely free to use. You'll start with our pause and pour quiz and then access our signature daily and weekly wellness trackers, mood playlists, elevated emotions collections, scripture-based guided audios, and so much more. Hit the link below to start today. So let's talk about why you actually need to speak up. You need to speak up first and foremost to create space, okay? Both emotionally and physically, you need to create some space because carrying around that deep emotional weight of trauma actually prevents you from healing. You can confront all the rest of the stuff, but I guarantee there are some linkages, some links, some connections, some patterns that are rooted into your need to have that conversation or that confrontation with your parent. And so you create space when you confront the past. In therapy, there is a treatment called trauma narrative therapy. And every single client that I've done trauma narrative therapy with says that they feel lighter afterwards. It's not a pretty experience to go through. It's not by any means a fun experience to go through. However, when they are done, they feel lighter. They can breathe. They can make decisions easier because it really does work. Creating space is really a thing. It gives you a chance to actually make sense of the memory as an adult. Sometimes we don't even know what meaning we made of an event until we explore it. For example, let's just say that if your parents said that you needed to put some chapstick on your lips because your lips was dry. Maybe they said that when you got home, and that was right after this kid at school like really made fun of you for having some dry lips. And they were literally just trying to help you out so you don't develop the ring of fire around your lips in the wintertime. But because the kid just made fun of you, you took what your parents said as you should be ashamed of your lips because your lips aren't normal. And so now you don't like to speak too often because you don't want to draw attention to your mouth. Trust me, even if this example is not making much sense to you or it doesn't seem that deeply connected, there's something in your past that you likely misunderstood if you're holding on to unresolved pain. And in a situation like that, that is not blaming your parent. Your parent was actually trying to look out for you. It just happened that it came on the cusp of something else that happened that was an unpleasant experience. So your brain married the two incidents and made a particular meaning about that thing. And it happens more often than you would think. So another thing that I want you to know is that it's okay to acknowledge your pain without believing that your parent is a bad person. You're not saying your parent is a bad person if you are acknowledging the bad parts of your childhood or the bad experiences of your childhood. I believe that people do the best they can with what they have to offer and the knowledge that they have at the time. And I believe that all people make bad choices, but no one is all bad and no one is all good. Humans are flawed. Humans are flawed. Humans, including you and I, are flawed. And if you can forgive your man for cheating on you or cussing you out, or you can forgive that person that you call your friend for gossiping about you, don't the people who birthed you and raised you deserve the same opportunity? Especially if we are not necessarily talking about forms of abuse, right? Just something to ponder. Healthy confrontation also is a character boost for you. Healthy confrontation helps you to grow. I cannot tell you how many amazing, ambitious women in leadership I speak to who are confident in a lot of areas, but they struggle with confronting people and enforcing their boundaries. A lot of women say that they know their boundaries, but they struggle to actually enforce their boundaries because they think to themselves, I can't say that. I can't do that. And you can. It's just about how you go about doing it. So you have to be willing to take, as Dr. Darius Daniel says, the backside of the blessing, meaning the good with the bad. Because yeah, you know, maybe you want to establish this program. Maybe you want to grow this school in your salon, or, you know, you have all these amazing ideas and that's great. But the backside of that is it's going to require you to confront and do some very uncomfortable things. And you have to be mentally prepared for that. You have to be ready for that. Let's talk about the reality of your relationships. The first thing that I want you to keep in mind is two things can be true at once. Your parent could have tried their absolute best, okay? But also, maybe their best was not good enough. For example, I could be working two jobs to make ends meet and try to keep food on the table, but you could still be really hungry at the end of the day. Does that mean that I didn't try my best? No, it means that I tried my hardest and I loved you and I kept you sufficiently fed, but I wasn't able to meet your full needs. Another example, a parent who grew up in foster care and never learned healthy communication or how to be affectionate with their child, right? So this parent births an extremely affectionate child, and maybe them just saying that they loved you was the very top of their capacity. I mean, that's what they could offer you, because let's say that they never went to therapy. They never resolved this trauma, this conflict, this lack that was happening in them. But you needed words and actions. You needed the hugs and the words. And what they offered simply wasn't enough. They provided you with a safe home, and they were maybe a little bit rough in how they communicated with you or how they got you to follow directions. But let's say they were emotionally absent and say that things that they said were extremely insensitive. It's okay to confront this, and it's okay to even draw a boundary present day. The second thing that I want to acknowledge is that we have to be real about this particular part. Some of the relationships are estranged, you know, parent-child, and that's due to trauma. And if that's you listening to this episode, then I am definitely not trying to force you into something that you don't feel comfortable doing. I don't know the extent of your trauma, and it would be unfair to just take whatever you're hearing on this podcast and put yourself in a situation that could potentially harm you. So you have to use your own wisdom, your own knowledge. You know how your situation is, but at the same time, don't use it as an excuse. Okay, because in the same breath, if you feel a nudge from the Holy Spirit after listening to this podcast to go repair your relationship, then by all means, okay, you need to honor that, okay? Because I don't go over the Holy Spirit. Essentially, in this confrontation, what I'm telling you to do is use wisdom. Use wisdom. If you know that you're not emotionally ready for that, maybe you need to start at therapy. Maybe you need to go figure out how you feel, what happened, your thoughts, make sense of it, make meaning, and then work with your individual therapist on how you will enforce boundaries moving forward. Maybe your confrontation, your pain is a little bit too deep, and maybe your parent is committed to their narrative, and maybe they're stubborn and they don't want to talk. And, you know, there's all of these different dynamics that also apply to situations like this. But at the same time, if your relationship with your parent is the thing that is like triggering you and stopping you from growth, and every time you come to a certain point of using your voice or of being bold or defending yourself, you're stuck because your brain takes you right back to childhood, that might be something that you need to confront. All right, let's talk about how to have a healthy conversation moving forward. And let's be honest, some of this might be hard to hear, but I need you to stay open anyway, okay? Use feeling statements. Using feeling statements allows you to take the blame off the other person and onto their actions. Because so many times you get stuck in arguments because the blame is directed like a shot at the person instead of talking about a thing that they did, disconnecting it from them as a human and putting it into maybe something that they did. Because if we feel like something is directed at us as a human, well, maybe you feel like, well, that's just my character. For example, a lot of older women, you know, I'm just talking. Oh, you need to stop being so sensitive. Oh, you know, if you point out you did that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like it's an attack on their character as opposed to talking about their actions. When you said, and they could still say that, but you just tend to get a lot further if you use feeling statements. And it also helps you to have clear communication, because as much as you think you are communicating clearly, you might not actually be communicating clearly. Here's an example. You tell your husband that you need him to support you more. He starts to say, babe, I'm so proud of you for cleaning the kitchen after cooking and working. Great job. We appreciate it. Kisses you. Go sit down and watch TV. And you're upset. You're upset because you wanted him to support you by helping you clean up the kitchen and spending time caring for the house together while you talk. That's your idea of support, not what he thinks. Verbal support alone. So if we're using feeling statements, it might look like this. I feel emotion when you specific action. Would you please potential solution? So it would sound like this. I feel extremely frustrated when you go lay down to watch TV after we eat while I clean up the kitchen. Would you please help me while we both clean the mess we made? So you see how that sounds? You know, I mean, obviously I put a little bit of extra on it because I was putting a little bit of emphasis in there for you to grasp it. And obviously it sounds very therapist-y, so it takes a little bit of practice, but it works wonders for clear communication. You can use it in your own form, okay? The next tip is to express empathy. Now, let me ask you a question. At your big adult age, because yes, we're the new adults, do you want people to have empathy with you when you make mistakes? If you have kiddos of your own, do you make mistakes with them? Have you ever been wrong? Have you ever felt bad? Have you ever hoped that they weren't upset with you for something that you know you could have done better in hindsight? If you answer yes to any one of these questions, and even if you didn't, your parent deserves the same empathy. We really do have to face reality that parenting is extremely hard because, of course, it ain't no rule books. And it's really hard when you're trying to do it right. And even then, you're still going to make mistakes. I think that a pattern that's carried over from generation to generation is that everyone tries to parent just a hair different than their parent did. And in doing that, they make mistakes of their own. So the truth is, you are making some mistakes. You will make more mistakes, and you're going to need your kid to have grace. So with that in mind, if your parent has a willing heart, be empathetic to what they say and be empathetic to what they don't say, because they might not tell you everything that happened at that time that contributed to their actions. A lot of it could be really painful, and you're asking them to open up old wounds that they thought they closed or that they stuffed down or whatever the case is, or they could simply be ashamed of their actions at that time. And maybe they will love nothing more than to repair the relationship with you, but maybe they're not brave enough to say it. So we have to be really empathetic and approach the conversation with empathy. So number one, feeling statements. Number two, empathy. And the last one is to take a collaborative approach to the conversation. While this is all about healing and growing for you, it's also about learning how to rebuild a bridge to grow your relationship with your parent. That means it's not all about you. Both of your needs are important. Both of your thoughts should be heard. Both of you should practice active listening and empathy, because it's going to take both of you to fix the relationship. It's also okay if this doesn't happen in one swoop. It's not like you're going to have one conversation and then your relationship with your parent is like, oh, magically healed. Wonderful. Like, no, you're probably going to have several conversations, and the conversations and relationship repair takes time, because both of you have thoughts and emotions to process, and that's going to take some time. And sometimes you don't understand a thing until it's been a couple of days and a light bulb moment finally kicks in. The important thing is to make sure that you're being brave and you're having the conversations. So again, the three tips for healthy communication is going to be one, using feeling statements, two, approaching the conversation with empathy, and then three, taking a collaborative approach to the conversation. It's time to talk about what I've been loving. Product recommendations, shout outs to family and friends, and overall gratitude. Let's get into it. Welcome back for another What I've Been Loving. All right. So this week, I did not think that it was possible, okay? But I hit a 99 in my sleep score this week, okay? Like, I don't know, if y'all not monitoring your sleep with your watch, what are you doing? Because the insight that it gives you is so great, right? I know different things about my body because I monitor my sleep and my health and all these other things that the watches can do. Like, I'm not one of those people that just gotta watch to be cute. I gotta watch to also aid in my health journey. So that sleep score hit 99. And I never even thought that was possible, okay? And so I know you wanna know the secret, right? And I'm gonna tell you the secret. Why I hit a 99 is because I went out and got a memory foam pillow top mattress. Okay. I told y'all about the pillow and y'all been hitting me up for that pillow link, honey, and I got you. But now we're getting top tier sleep. And it's because of the pillow top. Come on. It's the way the foam, baby, it molds to the body, honey. And you just right on into the third heaven. So that's what I've been loving this week. If you enjoyed today's show, share the love. Share with your mama, share with your auntie, share with your best friend. Then head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. Reviews help the podcast to grow. Well, that's all I have for you this week. I'll see you out in these social media streets. Bye.